time, trapping seasons, and regulations. And this also is a briefing and public hearing.
Thank you again, Chairman, members of the Commission. This presentation involves three different WACs related to trapping seasons and regulations. Just a quick overview. I don't think you probably hear about trapping very much, but trapping is defined in Washington is defined as a form of hunting where devices are used to capture animals primarily for their fur. Fur bearers are a subcategory of game animals that can be taken by trapping, whereas other game animals cannot. Trapping is the only legal method of harvest for several of the fur bearer species, but there are three, which include fox, raccoon, and bobcat, which we have other hunting seasons for. Unclassified species, such as skunk or coyote, are also legal to take by trapping. And just kind of history of trapping numbers around the state, they peaked in 1980, around that time, in the thousands. They had declined to about 500 in the 1990s, and then dropped sharply in 2001 when a citizens' initiative limited the types of traps that could be used for fur harvest. Currently, we're back to approaching having close to 500 licensed trappers in the state. It's the case here and are currently, but historically, fur prices have driven interest in fur trapping, and they've been up as of late. So what happened in 2000? The initiative disallowed the use of body gripping traps for fur harvest and allowed them to only be used to control animal damage, research or conduct research, or to protect listed species, and those uses are only under special permit issued by the department. So in other words, you can't use a foothold trap, a snare, or a conibear, often called a killing trap. Live traps, which fur trappers are currently using, are generally quite a bit more cumbersome to get around in the woods, and are also considered somewhat less effective. But needless to say, trappers are pretty ingenuitive, and they've adapted. But here's a view of fur harvest prior to that change versus the most recent year of compiled harvest, 2013. And you can see in the right-hand column that in many cases our harvest of fur bearers, and I listed coyote here as well, is a fraction of what it was with the other types of traps. So getting into our proposed changes, and trappers had come to us. We've had a limit in parts of eastern Washington of 12 per season on river otter. And the central part of eastern Washington has been closed to taking river otter. One of the concerns we heard from trappers was that a large portion of this boundary is defined by rivers, because it's defined by counties, which form county boundaries. And it was essentially lawful to take a river otter on one side of the river, but not the other. Didn't make sense to them. We're confident enough, and I want to comment on the limit of 12, too. Most of the river otter taken in the state, it's very difficult to target them with the types of traps that fur trappers are allowed to use, and most of them are taken incidental to beaver trapping. I looked at 3 or 4 years of the most recent trapping reports, and I couldn't find an instance where a trapper took 12 river otter in a season. So we have a rule in place that's having no effect. And we also feel that the river otter population in that closure area is substantial enough now to, you know, to allow harvest. So changes to our trapping rules. The first one is a simplification and cleanup item. Those exceptions that I mentioned to the ban on body gripping traps, we're removing those. They served as really just a restatement of statute. And we've also added clarifying language due to an issue that came up in the last year from the Trappers Association to clarify that fur bearer meat can be used as bait while trapping. It's a long-standing practice, but if you read the rule verbatim, it was questionable whether or not it was legal. And also pelt ceiling requirements. Washington, under federal guidelines, as well as our state requirements, that requires that all bobcat and river otter taken in the state be tagged by the department before they're processed. And so we're doing two things here. There was some confusion created by wording in the WAC as to what needed to be presented, what parts of the animal at the time of tagging. And so we're clearing that up. In the case of those two species, the only thing we really need at the current time is just the pelt. And the other change, more significant, would allow the department to permit others outside the department to do the CITES tagging. This save department staff time. For some staff, it's a little bit of a workload. It would be more convenient for trappers as well as hunters who take bobcat, which has been somewhat of a common complaint that it's hard to make an appointment with department staff to get a pelt tagged. Before we implemented that, we would need to develop standards and guidelines and do some monitoring to make sure those were followed by individuals outside the department. I take any questions.
We do have two public comments, so if you could come up, George Brady and B.J. Thornton.
Thanks, George. Closer. And good morning, Chair Smith and members of the commission. Of course, I'm BJ Bobby Thornley, and I've been around a few years. But I'd like to comment and express, I am representing the trappers, express our appreciation for the responses that we've been getting from staff on items of concern. The tagging thing is a big one, and it not only will save staff time, but when you live in a remote area and have to travel sometimes for 2-3 hours to get something tagged, that's difficult sometimes for some people. That is a big one. The other one, of course, is clarifying the fact that fur bearer meats can be used as bait. We've had some problems, potential problems, especially last year or so, that members of our enforcement people considered meat, and it was edible. And therefore, you could not use it for bait. And, of course, one of our prime baits are beavers, beaver meat, and some others. So that's another very important change for us. The clarification. It's a traditional thing, but it's the clarification. I also was pleased to see that you had included in the tagging information the cougar tagging. Cougar can't be tagged. in this, or trapped in this state, but it is a good thing to have that in there so that trappers are aware of the tagging requirements for cougars, because some of them are hunters and some of them aren't, but they might come across one and have a tag, a cougar permit, you know, tag, regular tag, hunting tag, and not be aware of the ramifications if they don't follow those rules. So I think that's a good cross-reference. We'd also like to propose, and I don't know if this would take a whack. I think it's something we could work out with maybe as a information pamphlet or something with staff, an info thing on all of our reserves. Some of them are open part of the year and closed part of the year to trapping. None of that is in the trapping rules. Some of them are open all year long, and some of them aren't open at all. And we do need to have some way to let our people know, and we've had problems, some problems in the past with that. That and this, if this would also include why they're closed, you know, hunting, when the duck hunting, you don't go in and trap where there's duck hunters, obviously, and especially before the ban on the footholds. But even a dog can get in trouble with a cage trap, and so that would be very, very helpful for us. But again, we appreciate response of staff. And it's looking great. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam. Always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you.
Brady.
Hello, my name is George Brady. I'm the Vice President of the State Trapper Association, also retired fish and wildlife employee. I worked for 30 years as a wildlife control agent in Okanagan County. So I was involved in a lot of the season setting on these, particularly on otter. Originally, we had a closure on otter in eastern Washington. We only had the season open the west side of the state. That was later. We opened the season and had a 2-otter limit. Then we raised it to a 5-otter limit. Then we raised it to a 12-otter limit. And all that was based on the fact that the otter population is doing quite well in eastern Washington and is statewide now. And opening that area in the middle of the state up makes sense to do. I want to be supportive of all the changes that the department's recommending at this time. Some of these changes the Trappers Association has recommended since 2003. So this is a rapid response from a state agency, only 12 years. On CITES tagging, all states are required to tag these CITES animals like bobcat, and in many other states, those were always tagged by fur dealers, or you got the tags by mail. I've traveled around quite a bit, and I talk to a lot of fur buyers in other areas, and a lot of times they just have stacks of tags there. Washington, by their own report, was spending about $125,000 just on tagging, and we feel that this is a really good plan to allow designated people to do this tagging. As a former tagger, I will be happy to give a class. We do a Trapper Association does a yearly rendezvous, and I'll be happy to give a class in tagging and what the pitfalls are and to encourage people not to violate the law on that. Of course, all wildlife agents have the right to inspect the books all the time to make sure that things are being done correctly. The stuff Bobby brought up on game reserves, I'm going to input that during the game reserve time. But we've had some discussions on that, and I have some opinions on that too. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair Smith. You seem to be fairly versed in the otter issue. Is the only way that you can harvest an otter is with by trapping, or can you shoot them?
Well, it's illegal in the state to shoot them, although of course.
That's why I asked.
Bottom or shot, yeah.
So harvesting or trapping is the only way you could harvest.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
And actually, they're not too difficult to harvest with a couple of the kinds of traps that we have now. It's just that, as was pointed out by Brian Calkins, most of the harvest is still incidental to beaver trapping.